Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Yahweh and family, for us gathering this evening. Thank you, Yahweh, for giving me the strength and showing me what it is that you would like for your people to have and hear this evening. You know, most of all, I just want to give thanks to the Most High. And in doing so, let's open this up with a prayer so we can get right into this. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for this hour, Heavenly Father, that you've given us, Heavenly Father, that we might come together, dear God, and share in your vision for us, Heavenly Father, share in, Heavenly Father, the things that you are seeking us to do, Heavenly Father, to further us as a family, dear God, and to show us, Heavenly Father, another way of living, Heavenly Father, another way of continuing our lives and our continuing in case of emergencies, Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, I pray in Yahushua's holy name, Heavenly Father, and ask that you bless each and every household, Heavenly Father. Beth Yahweh, as you so see fit, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the covering that you put over us, Heavenly Father, that allowed us to come together this evening. Oh, Father, in your Yahushua's holy name, I pray. Amen. Okay, family. Boy, it's been a beautiful day out there, and man, has it been a long one for me. You know, I don't particularly care to come right into the house and get into my lesson, but that's somewhat what I've had to do today. But nonetheless, Rabbi, please excuse me for not texting you what my message is going to be about this evening. Please forgive me for that. But nonetheless, I did most of my preparing last night. Now, getting into this, I'm going to begin with something that came to my attention, and what it is concerning some of the foods that we eat and how they could potentially be poisoned. Now, we all know that a lot of the crops that farmers are growing, especially for commercial purposes, are being sprayed. Now, I believe, yeah, Bayer bought out Monsanto. And so they're all under one big umbrella now. But there is a chemical called glyphosate. And what this chemical, what they use this chemical for is to spray the plants. Well, it's used to kill the weeds, but in most cases, they spray the whole plant just to kill the weeds, okay? And I'm not going to do a lot of reading of this, but I want to give you all just the idea of what this chemical is, okay? And so I'm going to begin reading here. And it states, glyphosate is a herbicide that, when applied to the leaves of plants, kills broadleaf plants and grasses and is used to ripen fruits. Listen now. Used to ripen fruits and regulate plant growth. So this particular chemical is multifaceted. You know, it's used for several different purposes. You know, sounds as though it's a chemical. It's a herbicide to the weeds. Okay, it's gonna kill the weeds. Okay, now it'll also protect the fruit and allow it to ripen. Okay, and the other thing was, it regulates growth. You know, so this chemical, whatever this, you know, whatever compounds are in this chemical, it's multi-faced, and it sounds like they're growing monsters with this stuff for real. You know, why would they have to put chemicals on a plant to allow it to ripen? If they just fruit will ripen itself naturally if it's left alone, but as we all know. You know, they're constantly looking for ways to grow things faster, grow things bigger, and bring it to market as fast as they can. So, and with this one chemical, it allows them to do all three of those, okay? It goes on to state, it is also an active ingredient. Listen up now. It's also an active ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup herbicide. Now, Monsanto has been in the news quite a bit lately for Roundup. There's been, the first case was in either Seattle, either in Washington State or California, where a brother had won. He actually won the first suit case against Monsanto about Roundup pesticide, okay? Now, then there was another one recently, just recently, there was another one who also won the lawsuit against Monsanto and Roundup, okay? Goes on further to say, this chemical is used up until shortly before harvest on various crops. Monsanto is infamous for his genetically enhanced foods, but they use this herbicide even on non-GE foods, okay? Such as corn, peas, flax, sugar beets, potatoes, rye, millet, canola, sunflowers, lentils, and soybeans. Okay, glyphosate is categorized as a carcinogen. Okay, now, it's classified as a carcinogen, and we all know that what carcinogens does. What carcinogens do, if enough is ingested, causes cancers. Okay? According to the International Agency for Research on Cancer, this doesn't sound like something you want on your plate or in your bowl. Currently, the United States Department of Agriculture does not test for glyphosate in your food, though the United States Food and Drug Administration has supposed to start testing in early 2016, okay. It was put on hold later that year. So, in other words, the United States government isn't even testing for this chemical that's been sprayed on the plants, which in turn become our food. You know, they are totally ignoring the fact. And I guess it's safe to say wherever you find big business, you won't find the government. You know, the government is allowing these multi-billion dollar corporations to regulate and run themselves. Okay? Now, it goes on further to say let me see, there's a private organization called Food Democracy Now, and the Detox Project have done some testing on 29 different foods and has found glycophosphate residue on some popular products, listen up, including General Mills, Cheerios, Oreos, Doritos, Stacy's Pita Chips, Ritz Crackers, Kushi Soft Baked Oatmeal Dark Chocolate Cookies. Okay, that's just a few of them. It's a long list, but we're not going to get into the long list, but it's safe to say that most of the products that are made from grains are on that list. It's safe to say that glycophosphate is found in many other popular American food products such as instant oatmeal, bagels, coffee creamer, Pediasure, internal nutritional drinks, and even organic bread, cage-free eggs, and organic wines. European products are not an exception either. Some best-selling German beers were tested for glycosulfate residue as well. Okay? But, let's stay vigilant, family, of our foods. Here again, it's safe to say that anything that we do that is not long-term, we may not see any bad results from it. In other words, if we're not eating this stuff every day, we may not see any bad results from it. But seeing the way I see it, if this stuff is being sprayed on our wheat, anything that's made of flour could potentially be harmful. But once again, Yahweh has told us about man. Once again, our government, is sleep behind the wheel, and big business is in control. And they don't care. The only thing they're worrying about is their bottom line. This last guy that won the suit against Monsanto, Monsanto lawyer said that they weren't guilty and they weren't paying anything. Well, they've got billions of dollars. They can afford to appeal, to appeal, to appeal, then appeal some more. Sometimes these people pass away without ever receiving a dime from these big corporations, because like I say, they have the money, so they can they can do those type of things, to keep the process moving. But food for thought, pray that you all glean a little something from it, and that you will use it as you may see fit. Okay, but this evening, we're going to talk a little bit about co-oping. I'm pretty sure some of the members, maybe all the members at some point in time or another, has used a co-op. Co-ops, there are different forms of co-ops. Actually, co-ops are becoming pretty popular in today's time. You have various types of food co-ops. You have farms now that have co-ops where you buy into a co-op, and each week, or however they have it set up, or every 2 weeks or every month, like I say, however they have it set up, you will receive a box of food based upon the leverage that you have bought into the co-op and what is grown. Okay, you have housing that that has gone with the quote unquote co-op. Okay, something I didn't know, but there are schools that are co-ops. You know, so there's different kinds of co-ops, but what we're primarily concerned about, you know, Beth Yahweh, is as we get into this, is not necessarily going to be just pertaining to food, okay? Not just necessarily pertaining to food. What let's first take a look at what the meaning of co-op is. What is a co-op? A co-op is a society, a business, or enterprise. A cooperative is a business that is owned and operated by and for the benefit of its members. Okay? It's by and for the benefit of its members. Most co-ops are started out of need. People feel a need that they want to fulfill. So what they do is find like-minded people to come together and form a group to pursue that need. Generally, when co-ops are begun, they're begun by, as I stated, a handful of people. And that handful of people, in the beginning, they come in and they each person bring a certain amount of money to the table. Now, I'm telling you this. This is how most co-ops are started. I'm not saying that this is how Beth Yahweh's co-op is going to start. You know, I'm not going to determine that. That's going to be determined by the members of Beth Yahweh. I'm just putting this information out there to give everybody an idea of how these things are started. Okay, I'm disseminating the information for us to make a decision. Not myself, but for us, Beth Yahweh, to make a decision how we would like to pursue this. Okay, it's some information I'm gonna give, and prayerfully, you know, everyone is listening, and we'll have a say in what is done and how it's done. You know, one person can start a co-op, but it won't be a co-op. That'll be a business. A co-op, as I just explained, is when people of like mind with like needs come together, and they have a need, and they pursue ways of fulfilling that need. Okay. There's another one: an association of persons who cooperate for their mutual society, economic, and cultural benefit. Okay, and our mutual society is Beth Yahweh. Our mutual society is the church. That's our society. You know, and yes, we are coming together, you know, to do this as an economic means. Now, in most co-ops, well, in all co-ops, the way that co-ops usually are run, as I stated, you know, persons come together. They put money together, and what they do, they start buying food. Start buying food. That's what most co-ops are about. People come together and try to find ways that they can buy, quote unquote, organic and natural foods, excuse me, at a cheaper price. You know, there's several co-ops in the area. I go to one co-op in particular in Hydeville. The name of it is Glutz, and that store has been there for years, and I've been going there for years. Okay, and it's small. It's I'm trying to think of a room. It's not big at all. It's not big at all. But within the space that they have a lot of natural products. During the summertime, when farmers are growing, they have organic fruit and vegetables there. You know, you can go there and buy a lot of bulk items. You can buy bulk herbs. You can buy bulk flour. You can buy bulk honey. You can buy it's numerous things that you can buy in bulk. But they also sell what else? They sell natural soaps. They sell the shea butter. They sell there's no meat in the store, no meat at all. No meat. You know, they have bulk grains, bulk nuts. You know, as I stated, you can go here, go into this co-op, and find practically anything natural that you may want. They even have a frozen section. I don't go in that area too much. They have natural drinks. Okay? But basically, you know, that's what the co-op is. And it's set up, as I say, for the people and by the people. And it's run by the people. In this particular store, when you go in there, there's no quote-unquote manager, even though there's one person that directs everybody. But everybody has an equal share in what's being done. You know, they rotate in the assignment. Some folk, some days I go in there, they may be in the back weighing out different items. You know, they may be back there weighing out the nuts, you know, in different bags. They may be back there tending to the vegetables, you know. But everybody has an equal share in what's being done, you know. And for what I can see, some of the people that are there have been there for quite a while. So it must be something good, something useful, something that their family is benefiting from. Okay, and I say that because in the case of most co-ops, there's either no pay or little pay. Okay, so it must be something good and beneficial in that for them and their families. All right, now there's a company out of California called Frontier. Some of you may have heard it. Some of you may even have used some of their products from time to time. They primarily sell to co-ops. Reading just a little history on Frontier, the way I understand it, it was first organized overseas. I think it was in Britain. A gentleman saw a need for natural foods. You know, it wasn't any one place that he could go to and find natural foods at a reasonable price. So they began a co-op, and co-op was Frontier. I forgot just how many these franchises there are around the world, but it's big. But if you go online, you can find them. They're online, and what they do, they sell to co-ops. You know, whatever it is that you want. Matter of fact, the herb store that I go to, a lot of their products, that's where it comes from, Frontier. The majority of what I saw, you're seeing there, comes from Frontier. You know, because at Frontier they had the herbs, they have herbal medicines, they have it all. They have it all. You know, and I mentioned them, you know, and I keep putting emphasis on, you know, Frontier. So that it will ingrain in your minds and you'll step out and take a look at their website, okay? Take a look at their website, you know, because some of the things that Beth Yahweh is going to really have to do is come together and actually see how we're going to build our co-op. I don't see us having a quote-unquote co-op in the sense of a freestanding store, but I can see us having some type of structure in place that allows each and every family to participate in and we purchase some of our common, some of the things that, you know, that we all may be using. Okay, most households use toilet paper. You know, a lot of households use flour, you know, some of us use flour. Okay, whether it's white flour, whether it's cornmeal, whether it's whole wheat flour, you know. And these are the things that, you know, I think in general we can come together and form some type of entity to begin to buy as a group. You know, it's just a matter of finding a way to of bringing all this together. As I say, I'm the facilitator, but you know, I need feedback. I need the rest of the church, you know, to come and give me, you know, suggestions, you know, on what it is that we can do. But there's so many items that, you know, that you probably use in your household that I use in my household. So why can't we, you know, me and you get together, and instead of going to Giant or to Safeway or to one of these grocery stores buying it, you know, why can't we just, you know, find a wholesaler where we can go and purchase these things in bulk, okay? Purchase these things in bulk to save ourselves some money. Because ultimately, you know, the more you buy, the cheaper it is. The more you purchase, the cheaper things are going to be. And that way, you're putting more money in your household that you can use for other things. As stated, you know, our form of co-op is not going to be a freestanding building. It's not going to be something where you got to buy into it, okay? But it's something that we all just come together, as I stated, and purchase certain items, household items, in bulk that we use on a regular basis. You know, it could, you know, it could be, you know, I don't drink milk, you know, but it could be I usually purchase rice dreams. In my house, we use rice dreams and almond milk. You know, it could be something such as that, you know. Instead of buying 1 or 2 gallons, you know, of these things, find somewhere we can buy a case of. You know, every penny saved is a penny earned. For real. Every penny saved is a penny earned. You know, I currently, you know, I go to restaurant depot. There is a food depot. I don't know if it's still open or not, out in Ellicott City, I think it is. Ellicott City? Yeah, I think it is. I don't know if it's still open or not. But, yeah, I usually go to Restaurant Depot, and things in there can be pretty cheap. I find myself going there buying things that's bulk, that's way more than what I can use. So, you know, I tend to give it away because I know if I keep it, it's going to go to waste. But even in giving some away, you know, I've still gotten more than enough for what I've paid for it. You know, but the vegetables in there, you know, I go in there normally. I can get a big old bag of salad for about $6. Sometimes I go in there and they got specials going on. I don't know if they bought too much of that stuff or what, but I can get bags of that stuff for $2. Spinach the same way. That's just, you know, it's just an example. You know, matter of fact, I haven't been there in a while, but the next time I go in, I'll get some of their sales material and bring back to the congregation. You know. But it's places out there like that we can get into, you know, and save ourselves the money, and at the same time, you know, that we are saving ourselves money, you know, we can better serve Yahweh. You know, this world that we're living in is pretty rough out there. It's pretty rough out there. You know, I don't have to tell you all. You all live in the same world I live in. You know, we may do different things on a day-to-day basis, but some of the same things that affect me affects you all. Affects you all. You know, and I'm constantly reminded of how Yahweh wants us to separate ourselves from this world. You know, we've separated ourselves from our families. In some instances, our families just kicked us out. So we ain't got nowhere to go but the church, depending on one another. And that's what this is. You know, this is us depending on one another. You know, this is us prayerfully, you know, getting a little further from the world. You know, this is us prayerfully, you know, beginning to build and to expand ourselves. You know, I spoke the previous 3 weeks. Matter of fact, today will be my last class for this session. But this won't be the last time that we speak on the things that I've spoken about in the past several weeks, the prepping and all. There is some information that I'm going to be bringing to the congregation. There's some things that we don't want to talk about over the airwaves. You know, there's some things we don't want to talk about over the airwaves. But even in the co-oping, we can use the co-oping as another way, to acquire items that we're going to be using for the prepping. You know, I'm already looking into one of the first things. Well, just to regress a little bit here and speak on the prepping. You know, because these two things are going to overlap. Speak on the prepping a little bit. Excuse me. The first thing that one of the first things I had indicated to people to do is to locate somewhere within your homes that you're going to dedicate to begin to store the items that you gather for your prep, okay? So prayerfully, you know, everyone has done that by now, okay? And the second thing that I had mentioned was water, you know, how water should be. Water is one of the most important things that you're going to be needing, and that you're going to need about a gallon per person per day. And if you looking at beginning to if you're looking at enough water for let's just use one person. If you're looking at just enough water to last one person for 2 weeks, you're looking at how much water? You're looking at 14 gallons of water. Okay? So just with that in mind, you know, like you should have some place, you know, to put those 14 gallons. But one of the things that I'm in the process of doing is finding a place that we can buy our water in bulk, rather than each of us go to the store and buy, you know, 4 or 5 gallons here, 4 or 5 gallons there. Why not us just come together, you know, and buy a pallet or two of water? You know, I take a look at my household, how many people are here, and see how much water is going to be needed in my household for which happens to be 3 people, And if I multiply 3 times 14, that's going to give me what? That's going to give me 42 gallons of water that I'm going to need for two weeks. So, you know, there that is. So if I look at 42 for 2 weeks in my household, and you look in your household, see how many people you got in your household, you know, we can combine those numbers, see how much we come up with, and figure out how much water we're going to need. And then we'll go to wherever it is that I found that we can get this water, you know, cheap at, good price at. That's where we get it from. But, you know, the co-op, I pray, just will be another way for us, not just to save money, but for us to come together as a family, you know, to do things as a family. You know, I'll get to that at the end of my class. You know, this whole thing, you know, it's ever going. You know, this co-op thing, it can evolve into a lot of different things. It can, you know, have us doing so many different things together. You know, already I think I mentioned to you all about the farms that we go to during the summertime. You know, different at various times during the growing season, you know, we'll go to the farm, get up on a Sunday morning, go to the farm. You know, that's another opportunity, you know, for the family to get up on Sunday morning, you know, and we all go to the farm, take the kids. It's a good experience for the kids. You know, get out there, you know, in that open air you know, see the fields and, you know, food. I mean, it's, you know, it's real, man. It's real. You know, go out to some of these farms and, you know, pick some of this fruit. And when I say fruit, I'm talking about vegetables also now. Take these vegetables and put it off the branch or off the stem or off of whatever it is, and just taste it right there raw. That's some good tasting stuff. Some of it tastes way better than store. But as the growing season comes near, you know, I'm going to get together some dates and times, because with the farms, they have numbers that you can call, and they will enlighten you as to what is being picked at any given time. So, you know, I'll keep everybody abreast, and let you all know when we're going out, and prayfully, you know, we can, you know, have a little caravan or something, you know, and we just go out to the farms. You know, at the same time, as I stated, you know, like a lot of these things that we pick, we can can. You know, but these are things as a family, you know, if we're to do, we have to discuss as a family if we're to do them, okay? But I personally, I love getting up on Sunday mornings. You know, sometimes I don't get up. Shawnee has to get out early. And on Sundays, I can be real lazy. Just want to lay around in the bed. I used to do the same thing when I was running. I wait till the sun gets high in the sky, and I want to go out there and run. Okay, most people in their right mind, they want to get out there. They get out and run early in the morning when they know the sun is, you know, is not high up in the sky. But yeah, getting out there on Sunday mornings, you know, it's a real good feeling, you know. And then the drives are really nice, you know, really good drives, you know, riding through the countryside, you know, seeing the animals, you know, it's just I don't know, it's just a good feeling. Good, clean feeling. But, you know, just something, as I say, that we can do to further, you know, our coming together as a family and doing things together, okay? But the co-op itself is we've got to find a way to set the co-op up so that it can be run on a continual basis, not just a one-time thing, but find ways that we can do this ongoing, do it ongoing. We may have to, or we may want to take a look at, you know, just having a committee, you know, that sits down and that'll sit down and come up with the various ideas of how this thing is to work. Because as I said, you know, what we're about to do is way different than the way co-ops are actually set up. Okay. So it's a matter of, you know, like I say, the men, women coming together and getting the game plan together. Get this thing structured, you know, so that we'll know what it is that we're doing. You know, we'll have some direction. You know, we'll have a game plan of what it is that we're doing, you know. And not just that, you know, to look down the road and have an end plan, you know, so that we can see, you know, where we're going. See where we're going. You know, as long as, you know, it's from all that we've been taught, you know, on Sabbath, you know, if we do all that we're supposed to do for Yahweh, you know, He'll bless us in all that we do. You know, if we're keeping His commandments, if we are observing His holy days, you know, He will bless us, you know. Not, you know, and there's no reason why, you know, this and a lot of other things, you know, can't be done, you know, within our group. You know, I can't now. I've got two families. I've got a family that adopted me, and sometimes I think they love me more than my real family. My brothers and sisters, and it says nine of us, thank God, and all nine of us still live. Out of the nine, I've got one, two, three. I've got three brothers and sisters, two sisters, and a brother that talks to me. Now, I don't know what's wrong with the other folk, you know. Haven't seen them to even ask them. And, you know, for real, you know, in a lot of ways, it doesn't really bother me. In a lot of ways, it doesn't really bother me because I know that all in all, you know, like there's some things that we don't share. You know, I don't share in their Jesus Christ, and they don't share in my Yahweh. And sometimes myself and the deacon, that's my brother, get together. You know, there's I'm not gonna say a clash, but I give him some knowledge of Yahweh, and it's not readily received. But you know, whether that's the problem or not, it doesn't really matter. But you know, I have a family that I come to every Sabbath that understands me, you know. And only thing I would like to do is just to see us as a family do more together as a family, you know, because I'm sure I'm not the only person that has family but don't have family. You know, this is one way for us to come together. You know, in the past, you know, I've been, you know, after I had my little back surgery, I sat over on the wall. You know, I got a little quiet, and it was for a reason. You know, I, there was a time, you know, I would come in into service and say things. I'm not going to say I shouldn't have said them, but I will say that I shouldn't have spoke those words in the tone nor of the word that I did. But now, you know, I'm trying to see things in a different way, and to you know, just be more patient, more observant, more quiet, and learn to when I do speak in a different tone, you know, in a tone that's not hurtful, you know, to others, you know. And with all that said, you know, if I've hurt anyone for anything that I said, I do truly apologize. This is the season for that. I do apologize. You know, I didn't mean no harm, but that is what I knew. Okay? I'm trying to practice something different today. You know, but back on topic here. You know, as a family, you know, these are things that we can do. These are things that we can do. And at the end, I do believe that it'll bring us close, but it'll also benefit each and every household. Benefit each and every household. You know, the frontier, as I say, go online and take a look at Frontier Corporation. They've been around for quite a while, and as I stated, they make all types of products. And you know, I'm pretty sure that each family can find things that Frontier sells that you find useful in your own household. You know, I think one of the things they were built upon was having natural and organic products. You know, I read somewhere where, I don't know how true it is, where Mums is a co-op. You know, I find it kind of hard to believe, but I'd seen that somewhere. But I do know one thing. Some of the things in Mums is a little on the pricey side. You know, I shop there every now and then. The store Audi, they have gone organic. They have gone organic. Pretty soon, weather, I think, what is this, March, April? Oh, man, it may be this month that the farmer's market down off of Gay Street under the 83 overpass on Sunday mornings. That's a good place, you know, to find fresh vegetables. There's a couple of stands there that's organic, but most of them are just regular old farmers. A lot of times I'll ask them, if they spray this, that, and the other, they'll tell you whether they have, they'll tell you whether they haven't. But in most cases, majority of the farmers, unless it is an organic farm, they do spray. They may not spray everything, but majority of them do spray. You know, when you start talking about especially a lot of your leafy greens, your spinaches, your kales and stuff like that, that gets sprayed. Like I say, unless it's an organic product, it will get sprayed. There's not a lot of farms that grow kale and spinach on a huge scale that don't spray. But that farmer's market on Sunday, they have a wide variety of farm products down there. There's quite a few other farms, farmers markets, set up around Baltimore. I know out in Annapolis, there's one on Wednesdays and one on Fridays. But even with that said, you can always look at, look online, and you can find out where they are and what days that they're going to be at those spots. There's another spot before I started coming church on Sabbath up off of Green Mountain that they have a farmers market on Saturday. They're all about. It's just another way of getting, getting fresh produce in your household, short of going to Giant Safeway, it would be nice, if we had our own piece of land where we could grow, what we wanted to grow and sprayed it with what we want to spray it with. Whether we sprayed vinegar on it or whether we sprayed it with chili peppers, because those things do kill insects. They do kill, the bugs that feed off these plants, especially the chili peppers, But until we do that, we're going to have to, it's a good idea to start, trying to source, some of our materials from these farmers, because it's farms all around. It may not be within walking distance to your home, but there are farms all around. They really are, and I just take a lot of pleasure in a lot of time for me the ride, just getting there, seeing some of what, just seeing the countryside. But one of the things that I would suggest is that everyone, do your own research. Do your own research, and then bring, whatever information that you have. And at some point in time, we will have a face-to-face, where we can share, this information, where we can, begin to break this information down and begin to build what it is that what we want, so we can have it working the way we want it to work, But it's going to take a little bit from this household, a little bit from that household, a little bit from that household, just to make this thing work. There's no reason why I shouldn't or couldn't. But let's all, begin to, this evening, just take a look around. As I say, look around your home. If you haven't looked around your home, and begin to see where you're going to replace your items at, okay? Take a look in your household and write a list of the things that, you know, you may go to the grocery store and buy every week. Or things that you, some people go to the grocery store every day. Or things you might go to the grocery store and buy every day. Make a list of those things. Then when we come together, we'll have, that'll be the beginning of our co-op. You know, we would have been identified. We would have been identified things that we want to start purchasing in bulk. You know, take a look at you know, it's just so much, just so much. But as I said, you know, it's none of this is so overwhelming till it can't be done. May seem to be, you know, it's all new. It's all new. But, you know, if we continue to, you know, do the things that Yahweh has suggested for us to do, you know, living our way, life, the way that Yahweh would want us to live our life, you know, like going to him and asking him for strength, you know, to overcome these obstacles that's put into our path sometimes would be nothing. You know, those obstacles will be lifted. Or what we seem to think are obstacles, they'd be lifted, they'd be removed. And we'll be able to go forward and build where it is that we want to build. You know, it's as I say, it's not easy, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, once we get this thing up and running, you know, we'll be able to look back and see, you know, see maybe the little struggle that we had. But we'll see the blessing that, you know, Yahweh has given us. And we'll see at some point in time, we may see where, you know, it was a blessing that we have done what we did, what we're doing. We've done what we're doing. But, yeah, take a look in your, let me say, take a look in your households, and make a list of the things that, you know, you may buy every week or every month. And at some point we'll come together and we'll talk about that. And that can be the beginning basis for us to start buying in bulk. You know, even, you know, if it's salads, if it's, you know, whatever, you know, the salad dressing, you know, be it pepper, you know, whatever it might be. Because it may be another family or two that's purchasing the same thing. And buy it in bulk. You know, sometimes you go to Giant and you get those jokers there $4 for a spice. And you can go to a wholesaler, get a bigger can or a bigger container of that same spice. Get a much larger container for maybe $1 more. When that one container that you bought from Giant, I don't know the size of the containers, you know, whether it's a half ounce or ounce, you know, you might be able to get 5 ounces for $1 more. That's pretty big savings. That's pretty big savings. So, you know, it's, you know, start looking at things and start thinking about the economics of all this in a different way. You know, it's a struggle out here, and you know, we all eat, and we all, when it comes down to food, we all have the same struggle. And all I'm doing is seeking a way of us trying to save a little cash in the process of maintaining our households. Without lessening the quality. That's another thing. You know, why pay Giant or these other stores $2 or $3 for a pound of tomatoes, when you can go to the farm and possibly get them for $1, $1.25 a pound. You know, the math ain't right. Or you could possibly, now when it comes to tomatoes, you know, if you eat a lot of tomatoes, you know, during, especially in the summertime, it's best to even grow your own tomatoes. You can grow tomatoes in a pot. You know, I do it every year. You can grow tomatoes in a pot. For real. $1.25 for that plant. And that plant will bear fruit all summer long. Right up to, I've had them right up until the fall. Right up until frost hit them. One year I even went so far as putting a plastic, putting a piece of plastic over all my plants, just so that I could prolong the fruiting of them, you know. But it's a way, family. It's a way. Let's see here. Frontier loaded up on, yeah, here it is. Yeah, but as I say, you know, they sell herbs, they sell teas, they sell spices, seasonings, and all different types of bulk foods. Let me see here. Dried fruits, dried vegetables. But here again, the one thing that I failed to mention, in order for us to shop through Frontier, we have to sign on as a co-op. Okay? And I do believe there's a small fee. It's not a whole lot, but there's a small fee that they asked to do that. Like I said, it's not a whole lot. I don't know if it's $10, $20, but it's not a lot. But it's just another way, you know, of saving our cash. You know, they got, you know, I don't know if you, any of you all have ever used dried vegetables to make stews or fruits or soups with. But, yeah, that's another thing. You know, these same dried vegetables can be used for prepping. You know, it's a lot of different things here. You know, when you really start looking at it, you know, you've got different type of vegetable broths that's in powder form that's been hydrated. Okay. So, you know, but the list goes on and on. And at some point in time, you get the time, take a look at, Frontier. But I'm going to begin to close this out now, you know, because as far as information, you know, I've given the basics of what it is that we're going to need. And now we have really got to come together and decide where we're going to go and how we're going to set this thing up to make it work for us. How we're going to set it up and make it work for us. You know, we, our church is growing. You know, we're growing spiritually and in all other ways, you know. And I pray that this will be an extension of all other things that we're doing with Yahweh's blessing. You know, began to cut that middleman out, you know, began to have less dependence on Mr. Man so that we can grow. You know, I'm gonna get ready to close out. But before I close out, I wanted to save this until the very end. I didn't want to really open up with this. For those of you that may have your Taurus handy. I'm going to open up to Colossians 3. And I'm going to begin reading from Colossians 3, 5 to 25. Yeah, to 25. Okay, that's Colossians 3, 5. Okay, and it goes, put to death, therefore, your members which are on earth, sexual immorality, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of Yahweh comes on the sons of disobedience. You also once walked in those when you lived in these things, but now you also put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and shameful speaking out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man that is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his creator. There, where there can't be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Satanian, bondservant, free man, but Yahushua is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as Yahweh's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowness, humility, and perseverance, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. If any man has a complaint against any, even as Yahweh forgave you, so always do. Above all these things, walk in love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of Yahushua rule in your hearts, to which also you were called to one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Yahushua dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Yahweh. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of Yahweh. Do all in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, giving thanks to Yahweh, the Father, through him. Wives, be in subjection to your husbands, as is fitting to fitting in Yahushua. Husbands, love your wives, and don't be bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this pleases Yahushua. Fathers, don't provoke your children so that they won't be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things those who are your masters according to the flesh, not just when they are looking as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the mighty one. Whatever you do, work heartily as for Yahushua and not for men, knowing that from the mighty one you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve Yahushua HaMashiach. For he who does wrong will receive again for the wrong that he has done, and there is no partiality. You know, with that, I'm going to close. But Beth Yahweh, I love you all. And getting ready to come up into the Passover. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that as a family, that we began to see each other as we see Yahushua HaMashiach, and that we treat each other the same way that we want to be treated. You know, with that, I'm going to close with a prayer, and I'll see each and everybody on Sabbath. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yahweh, for this time that has been given to us, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Yahweh, for the many blessings that has been stolen upon us, Heavenly Father. Father, I know that any all things that has been given to us, Heavenly Father, being big or being small, Heavenly Father, that they were given to us from you through your heart, Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, just pray, Heavenly Father, that each and every member of Beth Yahweh, Heavenly Father, continues to follow your path, Heavenly Father, myself included, dear God. Continue to follow your path, Heavenly Father. Continue to follow your edit, Heavenly Father. Observe your holy days, Heavenly Father. And have us treat one another, Heavenly Father, as we would want to be treated, dear God. In Yahushua's holy name I pray. Amen.
Preparation for the king, and they line the sidewalks with every sort of shiny thing. They will be surprised when they hear him say, take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. Take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. Afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. You will have a pardon. Oh, take me to take me to the afflicted one. Take me.